You would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, please. Matthew chapter 11, and our meditation this evening will come from the familiar words of verses 28 through 30. So please follow as I read Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Jesus speaking said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." As we prepare to observe the Lord's Supper together tonight, I'd like for us to think for just a few minutes about coming to Jesus for rest. Coming to Jesus for rest. To come to the table, as many of us will in a few moments, is to come to Jesus. You understand that, right? To come to the table is to come to Jesus. It's not an empty ritual that we observe in the Lord's Supper. We believe that the bread and the cup are, in a sense, merely symbols. But we also believe that Jesus Christ is present with us when we gather in this way. And the truths that are represented in the bread and the cup are intended to bring us to Him in a very real and a very personal way as we participate in this precious ordinance tonight. So I encourage you, believer in Christ, as you participate in this ordinance tonight, to remember this, to have this perspective that to come to the table is to come to Jesus. And according to our text for tonight, to come to Jesus is to find rest for our souls. Rest. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I imagine that there's more than a few people here tonight in this room who feel like they could use some rest. Well, what's the rest that Jesus promises to give and that we will find by coming to Him? I believe we learn something about the rest that Jesus is talking about here when we consider who needs it. According to Jesus in these words. What does He say? He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus offers rest to those who are weary and heavy laden. Those words mean something like this. Jesus promises rest to those who are working or laboring to the point of weariness and who have been loaded down with great burdens. That's who these words are for. But who are they? Who are the weary and the heavy laden? And picture that however you would like. I find the picture of literally bearing a very heavy burden on our backs and walking around trying to do the normal things of life and going about our business and going to work and trying to just get in and out of the car and all that with this very big, heavy burden on our backs. That's something of what He's talking about. Those who are weighed down, pressed down by heavy burdens, which make life wearisome and difficult. Who are these people? Well, I don't believe that we're required to limit Jesus' words here to a spiritual application only. This invitation is for those living under all kinds of burdens and hurts that press them down and make doing life an exercise of exhausting effort, toil, and perhaps even despair. All kinds of burdens that have that effect, just living life in this fallen world. But saying that, acknowledging that, we also must acknowledge that the true cause behind all human suffering and sorrow, behind every broken relationship, behind all sickness and death and separation, behind all guilt and shame, the ultimate cause behind all of these things is what? It's sin, right? It's our own sin, and it's the sin of others that makes life in this present world such a burden. And it's not just some physical thing, right? It's not just a burden to our bodies. It's not just something that makes life circumstantially difficult. The burden of sin, our sin, and the sin of others around us is a burden to our souls. And it's the burdens of our souls that are the true burden, right? That are the true weight that press us down and make life so wearisome. It's the burden of our souls that make it hard to go to sleep at night. And that wake us up really early, sometimes the middle of the night, and keep us up. It's the burdens of our souls that weigh on us throughout the day. It's rest for our souls that we most need. You know, the most wonderful word in these verses is the little word, all. Jesus promises rest to all those who are so needy. It's for all those who are willing to admit it. It's for all those who have a sense of need and who have a recognition that they cannot deliver themselves. They are weighed down, they are pressed down, they are burdened, they can't shake it off, and they're running into the ground. They are weary because of it, and they realize that, and they can't do anything about it. It's for all such people. Jesus invites all such to come to him for true soul rest. And that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? That's something you need? Here tonight, think about it, please. Be honest with yourself. Is that something that you need? Right now, where you are, just as you are, as you sit here tonight, is that something that you need? Far more than 2 weeks on the beach in Jamaica. As wonderful and needful as such a rest might be, isn't there something we need far more? True rest for our souls. The kind that only Jesus can give. The word for rest here means more than just ceasing or taking a break from something. It includes the idea of refreshment, renewal, reviving. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? For example, Paul in 1 Corinthians 16, 17 and 18 says this, I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus because they have made up for your absence, for they refreshed my spirit. Same word that we find here in our text. They refreshed my spirit as well as yours. What is Paul saying there? They gave rest to my spirit. When they arrived, I was encouraged, I was strengthened, I was uplifted, I was re-energized by these brethren in the midst of my need. That's what Jesus is saying. You come to me, you're heavy and laden and you're weary, I'll give you that. I'll give you refreshment in your souls. Do you remember the incident in the history of Israel and the life of Saul? King Saul was at war, and for whatever reason, he thought to burden his people and burden his soldiers with some restrictions on their diet during the day of battle, and laid heavy burdens on them for that. So they were fighting, and they were growing weary and weak and faint. And then Jonathan comes along, and he hadn't heard about these restrictions, and so he sees a little honey, and he's tired, and he's weary, and he takes a little honey for himself, and he finds that to be helpful. And we read in 1 Samuel 14, Jonathan comes on the scene, and one of the people says to him, your father strictly charged the people with an oath, saying, cursed be the man who eats food this day. And the people were faint. Then Jonathan said, my father has troubled the land. See how my eyes have become bright because I tasted a little of this honey. I think that kind of gives an interesting picture of what Jesus is talking about. You see, serving under the yoke of Saul was an oppressive burden to the people. It was exhausting to the point of becoming faint. And then Jonathan, he just tastes a little honey, and it has this effect of brightening his eyes, and his strength is revived, and his spirit is revived. That's the idea here. Jesus promises to take the burdens that weigh us down and wear us out and to renew us and to refresh our souls. To come to Jesus with our weariness and burdens is to receive not only relief, but to be filled and to be replenished with satisfaction and peace and hope and comfort and assurance and joy. So, Christian, here tonight, what are the burdens weighing you down and causing you to be weary? Perhaps you've come here tonight bearing a very heavy load of guilt and shame for your sins. Now, there can be a number of reasons why you're walking around as a Christian being pressed down by an oppressive sense of guilt and shame for your sins. There can be many reasons for that Jesus can sort out. But whatever the cause for that burden of guilt and shame, I urge you tonight, if that's you, and you know that's true, come to Jesus. With the burden of your guilt and shame, confess your sins, forsake your sins, and roll the burden of that guilt on to Him. That's what Christians do by faith in the gospel. You see, we can't bear that load, can we? But that's precisely why Jesus bore it for us. Come to Him tonight and remember the words of 1 Peter 2:24. Jesus Himself bore our sins. Remember that. Think of it. All of them. All of them. All the sins we have ever committed, all the sins we ever will commit as His people, He took them as His own in His body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Roll that burden of guilt and shame for your sins onto Him. Remember the words of 1 John 1:9 and believe it tonight. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This morning we sang those precious words. Maybe you were here this morning and you had a hard time singing them because of this burden of guilt and shame that has been dogging you for some time now. And you haven't known what to do with it, or you haven't dealt with your sins in such a way that you felt relief from that burden. And so it was hard for you to sing these words. Well, I encourage you, call them to mind. Remember these words afresh tonight and believe them. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, has been nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Brethren, we can know real soul rest tonight. We can have a renewed sense of God's smile. Maybe it's been a long time since you've walked through a day just having a peaceful sense of God's smile on your life. You can have a renewed sense of God's smile on you tonight. You can have a renewed sense of His love for you. His unconditional love for you. His acceptance of you. That you have peace with God tonight. You can have a fresh and a refreshing sense that it is well with your soul. But you must turn from your sins and receive, listen, by faith, just as you did at the first. Do it again tonight. Receive by faith without reservation and without hesitation that Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. He took the cup of God's wrath against your sin. His just wrath against your sin. And He drank the entire cup. He drank every last drop and satisfied God's just wrath against our sin. And there is not a drop left for you, Christian. So roll that burden of guilt and shame on Him. Receive that refreshment in your souls that I'm forgiven, I'm cleansed, I'm washed, I've been accepted by God in the Beloved because of what He has done for me. Believe it. I said a moment ago there could be a lot of reasons why we have a nagging, burdensome sense of guilt and shame over our sins. There could be many reasons for that that we need to deal with in going to Christ. Perhaps for some of us it's just hard to believe. You know, maybe we've been walking with God for a long time, and you know, if that's true, the longer you walk with God, the more sensible you are of how wretched you are and how sinful you are, and how many times you failed, and you have sinned, and you've had to go back to God again and again and again, and maybe Satan's gotten in there, whispering his lies, throwing his darts, and maybe we've just gotten to a place where we find it hard to believe that it can really be true. I want to encourage you to go to Jesus tonight and believe it and roll that burden of guilt on Him. Remember, God's willingness to forgive your 1,000,000th sin is no less astonishing than His willingness to forgive your first sin. It's all worthy of His wrath, and Christ's blood covers it all. Perhaps there's someone here tonight wearied, pressed down, burdened by the demands of the Christian life. For you, just being a Christian, just trying to live as a Christian, has become drudgery. The thought of fighting remaining sin for another day, the thought of bearing witness for Jesus in this crazy world, the thought of living for the glory of God, obeying God's word, reading God's word the way we know that we need to, setting aside time for meaningful prayer and staying awake long enough to get through a few things, attending church and engaging in what it really means to be a meaningful part of the body of Christ. And on we could go. All that makes up the Christian life is wearing you out. If that's the case, we must recognize that something is wrong with us, not with the life that Jesus calls us to live. He says here in our text, "My yoke is easy." and my burden is light. And when we talk about living the Christian life, isn't that really another way of saying it? It's coming under the yoke of Jesus. It's becoming his follower. It's living for him and serving him and desiring to do what he desires for us to do. And so if he says his yoke, living life for him is easy and his burden is light, if it's become a burden to us, we need some recalibration, right? We need our perspective to be corrected. Now, granted, when Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, he doesn't mean that it's easy, simple, carefree, trouble-free to live as a Christian in a fallen world. And he certainly doesn't mean that following him is inactivity. The Christian life isn't laying by the pool with cool iced tea in our hands. It's not. What Jesus means is that coming under his yoke, is a whole lot better than the yokes that we used to bear. You understand what I'm saying? In contrast to the yokes that we used to bear before he saved us, his yoke is easy. His burden is light. And don't be fooled. If you're not a Christian here tonight, you're not free, absolutely free, living your life however you want to without any yoke on you. You are serving something. And it's far more oppressive than coming to Jesus and belonging to him and living for him and serving him. You see, what Jesus means is that compared to being a slave to sin or trying to earn God's favor by our own works or trying to do life by our own wisdom or strength, those things that crush us and destroy our souls under impossible weights, Christ's yoke is easy and light for our souls. So, my brother, my sister here tonight, if you're languishing under the burden of self-righteousness, perhaps you've strayed a little bit from your walking in the same way that you received Christ at the first, right? That's how we continue to walk as Christians in this world, as by faith and in the gospel. Realizing that our acceptance with God is a done deal in Christ. Our standing is secure in Christ. We don't move in and out of God's favor based upon our performance, but you've slipped back into that performance, works-based mentality in the way that you're relating to God. If you're languishing under that, yeah, that's a burden, isn't it? Because you don't ever measure up. Maybe you're languishing under the burden of trying to do life by your own wisdom and strength. And you're not depending on Christ for all that he is and all that he promises to give us in his strength. I urge you tonight, if that's true for you and the Christian life has become drudgery because of those things, go to Jesus tonight. Remember that he is your perfect righteousness before God. You stand accepted before God in Jesus and in his righteousness, and you don't need to add anything to that by your works. God loves you, and he receives you because you are attached to his Son by faith. And Jesus has earned all the favor that you and I need with God. I think it was Pastor Hendricks who used this illustration a long time ago, and I appreciate and think about this picture a lot. It's the illustration of a child, a very young child, drawing a picture for mom or dad. And unless they're a prodigy, And if they were anything like me, it wasn't very pretty. It wasn't very nice. It wasn't great art. You know, there wasn't, the crayons weren't within the lines and all of that. But how does that parent receive that picture when the child comes and happily gives that picture to the child? And it's not very good, right? By artistic standards. But the parent happily receives that picture from the child with joy, with gladness. The expectation isn't that it would be perfect, that it would be a Rembrandt. Because the parent loves that child. The parent, that love isn't dependent on how well he stays within the lines. You know, and if we feel like, brethren, that every time we mess up a little bit, every time we fail, every time we're a little bit weak, every time we sin, God just turns his back on us and grows cold towards us, and doesn't love us as much as he used to, and isn't willing to receive us. That is a dreadful way to live. God loves us because we're his children. He accepts us. He receives us because we're his children, precisely because we're united to his precious Son. Go to him tonight. Remember that without him you can do nothing. Maybe you've been striving. Maybe you've been going about the Christian life, and you really, truth be told, have been doing it all on your own. No wonder you're frustrated. No wonder you're discouraged. No wonder you feel worn out and ready, perhaps, to just throw in the towel. Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." And so go to him tonight. And go to him tomorrow and every day and throughout every day, literally seeking him for help with everything. And Christian, living with a sense of despair over your very real weakness, I encourage you tonight, go to Christ and remember that his strength is made perfect in your weakness. Our weakness is not something that should drive us to despair. Paul learned how to glory in his weakness because his very weakness provided opportunity for the display of Christ's power and strength through him, but also, listen, the very real experiential enjoyment of that in himself. You know, when we think we've got it all together and we can do it on our own, we really don't enjoy a very sweet, close fellowship with Jesus, do we? It's those weaknesses that drive us to him, that cause us to rely upon him afresh, to pray to him, to cry out to him. And then when he comes and he actually does give help and strength, what a wonderful thing that is for our souls. Perhaps there's some Christian here tonight burdened by dissatisfaction. It's not so much the Christian life that has you down, but life in general. There's little joy in it for you. You're restless, you're dissatisfied, you're tired of the chase for meaning and purpose and coming up short. Christian, if that's true of us, isn't it likely that we've left our first love? Is it possible that we've forgotten that it's Jesus who is the pearl of great price for which we would gladly sell everything? Is it possible we've drifted from Jesus and are making the mistake of Old Testament Israel? Jeremiah 2:13 says, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Are you weary, burdened from chasing after happiness and satisfaction in the things of this life, even the best of those things? Well, no wonder you're weary. You know why? They're broken cisterns that can hold no water, that can never truly satisfy. Remember what Jesus said in John 6, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Only Jesus can give us the happiness and the peace and the satisfaction that we truly long for. Nothing in this world can provide that for us. And Jesus, who is jealous for his own glory and his place in our lives, won't let it happen. He's not going to let it happen. He loves you too much to allow us to be satisfied in anything truly, ultimately, but him. I think often of the picture of the woman that we know as the woman with the flow of blood. She was a weary woman. She was worn out from seeking relief and finding no help for her infirmity. She was broke from trying every doctor and every cure for her sickness. She was a woman at the end of herself and at the end of her resources, and then she did the only thing that was left to do and that she could do. She went to Jesus in faith. And I love that picture of the way she fought her way through that crowd. And she didn't even have to talk to him. She just thought, this man is so powerful and so great. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, what everything else has failed to deliver, he will deliver. And she was made well. There are Christians here tonight languishing in the disappointments of what really is nothing else but worldliness. Go to Christ tonight. Remember your first love. Remember how worthy he is of the highest place of devotion and affection in our lives. Remember the satisfaction that you have known in the past when your heart was all his. And you were truly glad to put your life in his hands, to go where he wanted you to go, to make his concerns your concerns, to make his joys your joys, to make his cause your cause. Remember, living for Jesus is truly living. Living just to live is death. Remember that tonight and go to him for the rest, for the refreshment, for the satisfaction that your soul longs for. No doubt, there are many other burdens represented here tonight that are wearing us out and weighing us down, problems that we can't fix. And we're letting that get to us. Griefs that are always with us. Regrets. Those are real things, aren't they? And Satan likes to shoot those at us like fiery darts. Failures, very real failures. Wounds that we really do bear in our humanity because of the sins of others committed against us. But they're burdens to us, and they're pressing us down and wearing us out. Doubts, fears that can grip us. Let me ask you something, Christian. Are any of those burdens too big for Jesus? Any of them? Remember, he endured a real humanity so that he might experience our temptations, and he did, our sorrows, our fears, our wrestlings, our griefs, our sense of weakness. Jesus experienced all of those things in a real humanity, and therefore he is a sympathetic high priest who knows what we need, and he has the ear of Almighty God, before whom he brings our names and pleads the merits of his blood and righteousness, all of which makes God's very throne a throne of grace for us, from which we may find grace and help and strength and rest and refreshment in our time of need. So whatever your burdens tonight, whatever it is that's making you weary, Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest, and you will find rest for your souls. To come to him is to believe in him. To come to him is to trust him and to rely completely on him. To come to him is to rest all that you are in all that he is, and to receive the refreshment of soul that he so freely gives to all those who come to him. I remember in high school and in playing football, we had summer workouts, and we would start in early August, and grew up in Baltimore, which was tremendously humid. And I grew up back when we were not at all hydration conscious. Not only did we not have our own personal water bottles that made a statement about us as individuals, we didn't even have the water jugs to go get water during practice. And I remember that there was a water fountain far away on this field where we would practice, and we'd get to that point in practice. We've been doing crabs in the dust and can hardly have nothing left in our mouths, and that break would finally come. Coach would say, go get a drink. And we didn't ever run in any part of the practice as fast as we ran when it was time to go get that drink. And we would line up and we would say, hurry up, hurry up. And we would just lap up that water, and it tasted so good. Are you weary? Are you burdened? Are you dry? Run to him like that tonight, as desperate for what only he can give. And I mean it. I mean it. Go to him tonight. My prayer, my burden, is that burdens would be lifted tonight. Because by God's grace, some of us would really go to Jesus by faith for what we need. We would take all those things to him. We would roll those burdens onto him. And we would receive refreshment and reviving in our souls. So come to the table and come to him and be encouraged by his promise tonight. All those who are weary and heavy laden, Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we continue now in looking to our Savior, in remembering him in his death, and in all that he is for us who hope in him, please give us grace to go to him and to rest entirely on him. Revive our hearts and our souls. Refresh us in our Savior tonight. We pray in his precious name. Amen.